invite you to remain standing for the reading of today's gospel lesson from the 24th chapter of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. Listen for the word of the Lord. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told this to the 11 and all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles, but these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home amazed at what had happened. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I mentioned at the start of worship something my colleague, Pastor Richard Williams, says about Holy Week. He calls it the Christian Olympics, and I mentioned that this is the medal round. You know, this is the celebration time, the victory lap. It is a new day. And I wish I had had enough forethought during the Christian Olympics called Holy Week to send out a survey with a very simple prompt. What Easter means to me is, and allow you to fill in the blank. I would have loved to have fielded your responses. I still would. Other surveys have been conducted, and the responses range from, it means a meal with family, or hiding Easter eggs, opening presents, wearing a new suit, a new tie, a new dress, being home for the first time in months is what Easter means to me, or it means that my team has danced its way into the Final Four and makes me leap for joy, while others remained entombed by what coulda, shoulda, woulda been. March Madness has made its way into several of these recent sermons, and where there's sadness, there's joy, I guess. In the SEC, it just means more, right? I guess that's what we're saying. Christ has made all things new, even busted brackets, I guess. Well, another survey asked a more simple question. Three words. What is Easter? What is Easter to you? And there were a lot who said something about Jesus and something about a tomb, and that made me very happy. But three responses really caught my attention. What is Easter? The first person replied, "That's easy. It's a holiday in November when we get together and have turkey." Wrong. Lord, bless their hearts. What in the world? The second response to what is Easter? It's a holiday in December when we put up a nice tree and exchange presents and celebrate the birth of Jesus. Now, I confess, again, wrong, that's not what Easter is, but I confess having told one of you Merry Christmas this morning. I just did it. I didn't mean to. You know, it just happens. What is Easter? A third respondent said, Easter is the Christian holiday that coincides with the Jewish celebration of Passover. Jesus and his disciples were eating at the Last Supper, and Jesus was later deceived and turned over to the Romans by one of his disciples. So far, so good, right? He went to be crucified and tried, and he was pierced, and he wore a crown, and his hands and his feet were pierced. He was buried in a nearby cave, and it was sealed by a large boulder. Then he continued. Every year the boulder is moved aside. Jesus comes out. If he sees a shadow, there's six more weeks of winter. We have some work to do, y'all. Wow. And as people of good decorum, for 364 days of the year, we don't eat anything that's on the ground, but for some reason on Easter, you can go search in the dirt for something a bunny left, right? Chocolate. It's great. What is Easter? It's more than a misunderstanding about other religious holidays or liturgical events in the calendar. It's more than bunnies and baskets and candy. It's about victory. Victory over those areas of life, those things we cannot conquer on our own. Victory over death, victory over suffering, victory over shame, victory over guilt, victory over isolation, victory over hatred through seeds of love. Victory over animosity because we are a people who are forgiven and so we forgive. Victory over doubt through a renewed faith the size of a mustard seed. Victory over despair through a profoundly active hope. Victory over darkness through the light of a new day. And over sadness through joy that is deep within the heart of one courageous enough to proclaim, "He is not here. He is risen." Easter also is a time for curiosity. It's a time for wonder. It's a time for mystery. It reminds me that spiritual curiosity is actually on the rise in America. Churches across this country on this day, at this hour, are filled with worshipers who still make their way to the tomb to hear the story, to observe for him or herself, is it true? Has he still risen from the tomb? And one survey indicates that 44% of Americans say they're more open to God on this day than any other time. I think 44% is pretty low. We have some work to do to proclaim he is not here. He is risen. And for all the complexities around Protestantism in America, over intellectualism related to resurrection, today provides the chance to hear this timeless message simply and authentically. So what is Easter? And why does resurrection matter? That's the question with which I want you to sit today. Why does resurrection matter? I tend to preach some version of this sermon the same every year because it's that important to me, it's that important to us. Resurrection was never limited to one day. In fact, today is the first of how many days of Easter? Say it, 50. Yeah, the great 50 days of Easter begin right now. And throughout the great 50 days of Easter, our church will undergo a sermon series entitled something that we proclaim in the creed every single week. We believe in the resurrection of the what, church? Body. We believe in the resurrection of the body. But what does that mean? Resurrection matters because we do believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus, that he came back to life in human form. We can't explain it, can we? Not fully. We lean into it as a truth more real than the air that's in our lungs if we know it in our souls and in our bones. It is our story. It is the event, the day, the power, the presence around which all of life circles and toward which it gravitates. We believe that he came back to life and showed the disciples his wounds, and he ate with them, and he walked with them, and appeared on multiple occasions as recorded in the Gospels, proving victory over death. We believe in the resurrection of Christ's body. And because of that, we believe in the resurrection of our bodies, that they will be raised on the last day. God has a peculiar interest in your body. Did you know that? So much so that God was willing to breathe life into your bones and into your flesh and into your lungs. It's creation, and resurrection is recreation. We are being recreated and made new, and we will be raised to new life someday. But thirdly, when we proclaim we believe in the resurrection of the body, we believe in the resurrection of the body of Christ called the church. The power and the presence of resurrection as an event, it was never limited to a singular event around 33 AD. Through the lasting power and presence of Jesus' resurrection, Christ continues to raise the body of Christ to new life in our places of darkness, in our relationships, in our stories, around our community. That's truly good news. Throughout the season of Lent, we've been praying like St. Francis. And today's sermon, where there's sadness, joy on Easter, it concludes that sermon series. We've been praying that we would be instruments of peace as a resurrection people. And where there's sadness, we will play the song of joy. Francis's prayer, we haven't gone through this part of it as part of the sermon series, but it ends, "O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console. Grant that I may not so much seek and live to be understood as to understand others. Or to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to what, church? Eternal life. Through Christ's resurrection, with that in mind, everything changes. Resurrection changes everything about every day of our life, about every breath of our life. That's why resurrection matters. We practice resurrection. We believe in resurrection of the body, that in dying to ourselves and our old ways, we are raised to new life. We die to our pride so that we can live humbly for others. We die to our sadness and we find joy in that moment. By leaving hatred in the tombs, we come and we emerge and we sow seeds of love. And by leaving doubt in the tomb, we find faith. And leaving despair in the tomb, we claim hope. And leaving darkness in the tomb because a new day has dawned. Now, we can deny resurrection, and we do it every time we do not serve and seek to serve the least and the last and the lost and the lonely. Or when we close our eyes and our ears to seeing and hearing as God does, what we do is we sit Jesus back in the tomb, we sit resurrection on the shelf, and we label it as an idle tale, and we go back to life before this brand new day. But in those moments, when we help others and ourselves roll away the stones of oppression and injustice and pain and grief and sadness, the new light of resurrection breaks the darkness, and Christ emerges and is raised again. And so today, we roll away stones of sadness for one another and for ourselves, and we step into joy because Christ has come and is making all things new. We can choose to reject that. We can ignore it. We can explain it away theoretically, intellectually. But at the end of the day, we all have a decision to make. Either we choose to be a resurrection people, or what else really matters? The empty tomb, it gives us our highest value in this world. The church is called to practice resurrection, to raise to new life the places that are dormant and dead. Are we willing to be raised to new life? Is that our highest value? Is that our highest value over our politics? And is it our highest value over the words we say and the words that we choose to allow into our lives? We're resurrection people. That doesn't get access to our joy. How will resurrection take priority in our lives? How we see people, how we see ourselves. Christ is risen, you see, and everything has changed. Everything we see is in the light of a brand new day. And Easter will either become another day in the rearview mirror of life, or it will set the tone as our windshield for the next 364 days, however long we have breath in our lungs. Why does resurrection matter? Because there's enough hatred and injury and doubt and despair and darkness and sadness already in this world and in our lives. And it's time for an alternative story to win the day. And the church has the story that this world needs. Amen? Now, let not your hearts be troubled. The first disciples, they didn't believe it either. They called it an idle tale, meaning that's just another story. Or that's just hogwash. What are y'all talking about? He's raised from the dead. No, he's not. Even though he said he would. Even though others had been there and heard the angels or the gardener whom they mistook. They called it an idle tale. All that to say, the church and its initial evangelical movement plan for church growth, they didn't get out on such good footing, did it? No one was there save the women. Thankfully, those women, they had enough chutzpah to keep telling the story. Thankfully, Peter climbed out of his first century lazy boy and went to look for himself, because neither the witness of the women nor anything that Jesus had said could convince him. He had to see it for himself. And Peter's the first pope. Somehow that ought to bring us some hope. Right? Keeping all that we allow life to, how we allow life to entomb us and keeping us in the dark and away from the light of the new day, Jesus has an alternative story in mind for each one of us. And somehow seeing our lives raised together to new life and the places that God is resurrecting in our community this very moment, somehow seeing and hearing these firsthand accounts once again, it reminds me that resurrection still matters. He reminds me that Jesus cares about restart after restart after restart. You all know, I've quoted it probably on Easter, that Mumford & Sons piece is one of my favorites. Roll away your stone and I roll away mine. You know that song? Oh, it's so good. Together, we'll see what we can find. Darkness is a harsh term, don't you think? And yet it dominates the things that I seek. Why do we do that? Why do we focus on the darkness? It seems that all my bridges have been burned, but you say that's exactly how this grace things work. Grace thing works. It's not the long walk home that will change this heart, but the welcome I receive at the restart. Thankfully, Jesus cares about restarts. The power of resurrection is about a restart for you and me. So let's roll away some stones because Jesus did. Let's be instruments of peace because Jesus is. And let's sow some seeds of love and not allow hatred to win. We are resurrection people. Let's have a little faith as resurrection people to move some mountains together. Because in a single seed, the world can change. Let's actively participate in hope by showing up for one another, because there's despair aplenty these days. And let's bring light to every dark corner of our community and the hearts of friends and foes, because we are a people of resurrection. And resurrection matters more today than it ever has. I need you to receive it and believe it and to live it, because you are being raised to new life, because God loves you more than anyone on this planet ever will, and there's nothing you can ever do to change that. So roll away some stones and help others roll their stones and step out of the darkness into the light of a brand new resurrection day. Amen? Amen. I invite you, as we continue worship, let us pray the response to the word, the prayer of St. Francis as found in your order of worship. Let us pray together. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, for it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.